Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, August 1, 2666, according to the Middle East. So anyway, welcome to the show. Of course I'm surfing, you bet. That's what I do down here in Laguna Beach. Welcome to all the folks in Tampa Bay also. Unfortunately, you don't get the waves, I don't think, quite as big as we do out here. So you can come and surf with me if you want. Saturday night was a great time. We had Steve Barish on, who is an amazing holistic healing doctor. He works with some of the most amazing cases in the world that people say, oh, they're never going to fix that problem anymore. Also, we've gotten some great intelligence input, which we are posting up on the front page of BBSradio.com. I know some of you are on Tantalk1340.com, but if you go to BBSradio.com, you'll see a daily or weekly posting. And we've been keeping tabs on the war. We've got some pretty good inside connections, because what you see on CNN and MSNBC is usually propaganda to feed the Arab jihadists that listen to it and monitor it as their source of intelligence, because they don't do so well in English either. As a matter of fact, we're running about a week to 10 days ahead of what comes out into the normal news media. But remember, you hear it here first anyway. So it's kind of nice. And for those of you that are new listeners, I've done a little bit of work here and there in the different fields outside of my paradigm and holistic work. And like I say, I worked for the government when I was 14 years old. It really doesn't go away completely. I'm very loyal to this country. And anything that I can pick up, any tidbit or anything I can get that you're not going to find, I'm going to pass it on. And if some of you listeners know that listened to me during the times of the first Persian Gulf War and the second Persian Gulf War, we had some very interesting news then. Of course, BBS Radio wasn't around then, but I was on a lot of other shows. So tonight we're going to have a two-part show. The first part will be a WALE historical show, archival show. And usually people like these a lot because it covers stuff that I did 20 years ago and now is very apropos. Secondly, we're going to have a lecture. You're going to be hearing a lecture, one of my lectures from a while back, but I think you're going to like it. And it's going to start off with the seven levels of consciousness. And we've talked about those. And for you new listeners out there, you have seven different feelings, and we call them levels of consciousness. Basically, you have the feeling of will when you wake up in the morning, which is hormonal secretion in the head area. And then we have the thinking area of the brain, which is thyroid and pituitary, which is the female energy. It's green. So when you're thinking, it's logic, all that kind of stuff, that's a consciousness. Then you have your heart. You feel love, hate, anger. That's heart chakra. That's a feeling, a level of consciousness. And you have your solar plexus, where you feel for others as you feel for yourself. That's called compassion. And finally, you have the sexual energies that are very important. Those are the basic main feelings that we have. So with that said, we'll start rolling tonight's show.
The ideas, opinions, and comments expressed are solely those of Dr. Fred Bell, his callers, and guests. Paradigm Incorporated can be reached at 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. Now, health, science, and energy with Dr. Fred Bell.
Welcome once again to Dr. Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And today we're going to talk about and continue on our nutritional conversations so that we can get more into the energy factors of the body. Last week we talked about the trace minerals and the minerals, and we talked a little bit about some of the formulas. One of the formulas that we're involved with is the XL Plus, which you probably have heard it advertised on the station from time to time, which is very important. Today, now, we're talking about we're going to go into the vitamins and the B complexes. And as we said earlier, the body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. And hydrogen is the most important atom when it comes to the field of nutrition. When you realize that your body is producing 50 million cells per second, the frequency and the vibratory rate of hydrogen atom is incredibly important, and most people don't understand that on the atomic level is where the thing has to be animated and nurtured and taken care of first, so that therefore the electricity has to flow, the electrical precursing fields have to flow, and then the nutritional energies have to flow. So we're kind of starting from the foundation by talking about nutrition in this series of shows that we're doing each week until we get into a deeper level of the body. One of the big things that we use in our vitamins, which is a color frequency of red, is vitamin A. Vitamin A is incredibly important. We use it in a palmitate form, and we use it in a beta-carotene form. And of course, there have been vitamin A scares. One of them was because they said there was a bad gelatin capsule which came from Japan. In fact, they did find one capsule that was bad that had nothing to do with vitamin A scares. You'll find that any time you start taking nutrition and putting different vitamins in your body, that builds your frequency rate of your body up to the point where you either get rid of diseases or become immune to all diseases. The government doesn't seem to like this too much simply because you're interfering with the medical profession. When you interfere with the medical profession, you're interfering with a big hierarchy where the doctor writes a prescription and the drug companies fill it, and that's big business in this country. Matter of fact, the cancer industry alone is larger than the automotive industry, and about 1 out of 4 Americans has something to do with the automotive industry. So vitamin A is incredibly important. The reason we use so much vitamin A, we use about 40,000 international units a day of vitamin A in our formulas, because it builds the immune system up to such a high frequency level. We found that, for example, if you're subjected to the AIDS virus and your immune system is built up in a high frequency, any kind of disease coming in is always at an electronic level, some sort of frequency, and in the case of AIDS, it would be a lower frequency. So if your body's tuned up and your immune system is tuned up on a very high frequency level, chances are if you're one of these people that came in contact with the AIDS virus, it would probably pass harmlessly through your body and not cause you to come down with the disease or symptoms of the disease. And I can't emphasize enough right now in these times about keeping the immune system totally tuned up, because one of the big fears right now, and it's already started to happen, is the way that AIDS will be transmitted, not from saliva so much, not from contaminated blood so much, but from mosquito bites. And what the medical people are calling mosquitoes is a flying needle. And that's basically, we've already had a few cases of children come down with AIDS, probably because of mosquito bites from one victim to another. As the disease spreads into our society, as it will, and those people that are not taking care of themselves will become susceptible to it, you'll see more and more of the effect of insects in the disease AIDS. When you take carotene into the body, it's immediately converted into vitamin A in the liver and the intestinal walls. And once it's absorbed, vitamin A is carried to the bloodstream to the cells, with any excess being stored in the liver until you actually need it. We also talked about vitamin D last week, and we said that it's very important to have, we use 400 international units of vitamin D in our formulas because it's very important to assimilate calcium. A lot of people have enough calcium in their bodies, but they're not getting the proper absorption of it because you can't absorb calcium without vitamin D. And when this happens, calcium is just passed through the body. Calcium, as you remember from last week, we talked about, is very important for the heartbeat. And if you don't have enough calcium in your body, your heart starts to have different kinds of weaknesses show up, circulatory problems, start getting cramping in your body. Normally, vitamin D comes from the comes through the sunlight. 18 international units of vitamin D are absorbed in the skin in a normal sunny day. But with the changing of the frequency of the ozone layer and the ultraviolet content of the ozone layer coming up, it becomes necessary now for vitamin D to get it in a nutritional form. That's one of the reasons that we've been using it. Another nutrient that we use a lot of is one you might be somewhat familiar with. It's a newer one on the market called octocosanol. Octocosanol is used by athletes because what it does is it pumps large amounts of oxygen up into the muscles. And we use about a milligram of octocosanol, whereas most people use only 90 micrograms or 100 micrograms. We use a full milligram. It's a very expensive item to put in the body, but if you're one of these people out there who's can't have to be jump started in the morning, can't get your energy going, or you start falling asleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Octocosanol is definitely an ingredient that's going to help you an awful lot. And the next area that we look at is the B complex. And there's been a lot of legislation around the B complex and a lot of noise from the FDA about it, because when you get into the what are called the nitrilicides, B12 through B17, you get into an area when these are put into the body where cancer becomes a thing of the past, and now you're stepping on the toes of a major industry. What happens is, if you are low in the nitrilicides, then you're susceptible to what are called carcinogenic agents. Carcinogenic agents are things like sodium nitrite, MSG, all different types of foreign substances in the air, different types of cars coming through the air from nicotine, especially if you're a non-smoker in the presence of a smoker, these kinds of things. And what cancer basically is, it's a weakness of the first ray, or the first of the red color, so it's a will-to-live disease. And when people start getting susceptible to it, the first thing that happens is you get a runaway situation in the body where estrogen is being manufactured and distributed through the body, which is a female hormone present in both males and females. And this estrogen then triggers a negative cell wall reaction, which creates a positive ion in where a negative ion should be present in the cells, which then causes the body to start absorbing protein in the wrong areas, which leads to different kinds of blockages. And so what happens is, when you have the nitrilicides in your body, the nitrilicides keep plenty of free-flowing electrons, negative electrons, moving through the cell walls, and you become, and your body will then pass out harmlessly the effects of sodium nitrate and all these different preservatives. We use B15, for example, is one of the B complexes. We use large amounts of that in our vitamins, which is almost impossible to find in most nutritional formulas off the shelf. B15 was first isolated by Ernest Krebs Sr. several years ago and taken over to Russia. The Russians were very much into B15 because they found that anyone that had large amounts of B15 in their body was no longer susceptible to heart attack because of the huge amounts of oxygen. Because heart attacks on one level are the lack of oxygen going through the cells, primarily the brain, and through the arteries. B17 comes from Laetrile. We use it in the form of a Acerola cherry, amongst other things, in herbal form. And B17 keeps the energies up so that when the cell is, for example, if you have a cancerous cell in the body and you subject it to B17, the B17 will attack that cell. Now, if you have a non-cancerous cell in your body, the B17 will just pass harmlessly through. One of the big scares that was came out was, well, there's cyanide in it, B17. Well, that's true, but the body will break the cyanide down into sugar in a normal cell that has rhodanase in it. But if a cancer cell is in your body, it doesn't have rhodanase, and that cell will be attacked by that cyanide and destroyed. So it's a healing, cleansing process that the body goes through. We also use large amounts of vitamin E and lecithin. And these are very important in formulations for several reasons. Number one, E is an antioxidant. And most people that are breathing carbon monoxide, which is every day, are very low in vitamin E. And as a result of that, other hormones in the chain, other proteins in the chain, aren't going to be absorbed, and you're going to be lacking consciousness when you get down to the hormone level, coming from the nutritional level of the body. So it becomes very important to have large amounts of vitamin E in there. We use also PC lecithin with the vitamin E. And the reason we use the two together is because with PC lecithin, the absorption rate goes up hundreds of times of vitamin E, whereas if you just had vitamin E by itself. And then we amplify this even further by using selenium. When you use selenium with vitamin E, it amplifies the formula another 100 times. And when you start combining these different enzymes and coenzymes and nutrients together in formulation, what you end up with is what's called synergistic formulation, which is probably one of the more advanced types of formulations that's coming to this world right now, and people are becoming aware of it. Just going down to the store and buying some off-the-counter nutritional program or some vitamin bottle assortment oftentimes doesn't do you any good, and sometimes does you harm, because a lot of these vitamins even have synthetic vitamins in them. And as I said earlier in my previous show, if you were to put a synthetic vitamin into your body, it doesn't have an aura field when photographed by Korean photography or measured by different energy, you know, sources through radionic measurements. what happens is when you put something like that in your body, it steals from your body what's already present. So you end up becoming deficient in these different types of things. Last week and the week before, we talked about this being used by the food industry to help take away Americans' health. And one of these things that's big time is to promote heart risks. And heart risks, of course, will come when you start taking vitamin D and vitamin A out of your body. And this is done by assimilating the milk that you buy, which says vitamin A and D added, because these are synthetic vitamins that are added. So as a result, when they have these synthetic vitamins in them, and you drink this milk, what happens is it steals the nutrition from your body and causes problems. That's why a lot of people are becoming allergic to milk now that heretofore were not. Also, in the B complex, we use two types of niacin. We use niacin as a niacin form, and niacinamide is another form. Niacin is a very important nutrient in the body, because if you remember our chain that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the body is 5% minerals. The minerals then come through the enzyme process, the hydrogen atom. The enzymes then bring in the vitamins. And so as a result of having niacin, niacin is also called nicotinic acid. And a lot of times people start smoking. And if you're one of these smokers and you want to stop smoking, then what you want to do is start taking larger amounts of niacin so that the body will start getting nicotinic acid from the niacin rather than the nicotine. Because if you chemically look at the chemical composition of nicotine, you'll find that nicotine will be absorbed by your body and will produce an effect. I have a caller on the line, so we'll take that caller now. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Dr. Bell, have you done any work with the bee pollen granules, propolis, raw honey, and the kombucha tea?
Well, I worked with bee pollen and propolis. Bee pollen, the propolis part of it is used as a salve on the outside of the body. I don't recommend you put it inside your body. What happens is when the bee comes into the into the hive, it goes through a dance, and it's going through this dance, it sheds the propolis off and then carries the nectar on in and it does another, you know, and puts it into the comb. It deposits on the comb. Now, bee pollen itself, I used to use that in my formulas years ago, but we stopped using it. We use it as a source of energy, but we stopped using it because a lot of people are allergic to it. And when we do formulas, we don't want people to have any allergic reactions. And what we found is that bee pollen is so concentrated as a protein source that it upsets people's digestive tract because they have a tendency to take too much of it. And then it causes a hypoglycemic reaction in a lot of people. So I recommend it once in a while, but not on a regular basis. And I always recommend using honey rather than sugar to sweeten things with. I've always done that. The royal jelly, which is another area of the bee, which is fed to the queen, it's almost like a sacrament. And later on, hopefully when I get into this program further, we'll talk about nature kingdom and the bee kingdom, and there's a lot of interesting things that I can bring out about that. But
how about the kombucha tea?
Never worked with that one. What is it? Is it an herb or what?
It's a fungus that supposedly some people up in Russia have been using for years. That you take 3 quarts of water,
yeah.
You boil in a cup of sugar, and then after it, and some black tea. You put 5 black tea bags in there, and then let it cool to room temperature.
Right.
And then you put in this fungus that's similar to the size of a pancake, small pancake, and then in 14 days in darkness, it replicates itself.
I'm going to interject something here. That was a while back. Since then, I have used kombucha. You can buy it in the health food store. And it's an amazing fungus. The Japanese use it, and it's greatest detoxing for the liver. It tastes sort of like a bitter iced tea, and it's a very tasty thing, and I use it all the time now. So that's a little bit of an update thrown in there.
Next week, this weekend coming up, we're doing the New Life Expo at the Roosevelt Hotel. I'll be speaking there, and I'm sure that somebody will have some of it there, and I'll check into it, because we'll have a lot of new health innovations at that show. We always do. We do it once a year. So I'll check it out. You know?
Are you slating any future programs exclusively for the UFO phenomena?
Yeah, we will. further as we get into it. But what we're trying to do now is to get people into understanding their bodies on a frequency level because, you know, as you know, I've been a contactee for a number of years. Yeah, and, okay, and also, we have to build a, it's very important when we get into the subject of divine intervention to understand the function of the earth and the function of the person so that you can actually understand and maybe even make contact with these extraterrestrials. So we're leading up to that, but it's just, to talk about it, it's just too heady.
May I recommend a book for you?
I'll tell you what, we'll talk in a minute. We gotta take a break, okay? So we'll be right back.
Why do various extraterrestrial groups visit Earth? Who are they, and what information do they have for us? Dr. Fred Bell, Air Force veteran and collaborator on NASA's Saturn and Apollo moon projects, answers these questions and more in his cassette series, The Promise. This 18-hour audio series explains high-tech pyramid systems, the Pleiadian super receptor, how you can become your own energy doctor, super nutrition, and a lot more. Call 1-800-729-2603 today, and you'll also receive a copy of the book, The Promise, as well as a one-hour video showing joint alien and U.S. military technology at work absolutely free. That number again is 1-800-729-2603 for The Promise audio series. Only $139. That's a $50 savings and includes the 18-hour cassette series, the book by Dr. Fred Bell and Brad Steiger, and the one-hour video. So call now, 1-800-729-2603 for Dr. Fred Bell's The Promise.
We're talking to you, Barrington. Give us a call at 990 WALE.
Welcome back to Dr. Bell's Health Science Energy Show. Yeah, we like to talk about UFO phenomenon, and I have a lot to say about that because it's not phenomenon to us out here. It's something that's been going in my life for over 20 some odd years. But I find that talking about where they're from and who they are without people being able to relate to it doesn't really serve a purpose. And so that's why I don't just jump into that stuff because there's a million people around that do. And we like to present it from the science because one of the big messages of the ETs is for people to start waking up, understand their political system, understand how their secret government, their cover-ups work, understand what the earth changes are all about, understand about the weather changes. These are the kinds of things that we're leading into here with the show, but it takes time, and most people that I find are deficient in something so that they wouldn't understand the words anyway, where they just kind of like pass through their...
That's right. They have to get their vibrational energies up.
Exactly.
And open their mind.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what we're, you know, it's amazing how many people are nutritionally just not there, and they're taking junk vitamins. They don't eat properly. And so it's important to go through all this to get those statements made, and then people can get copies of the tapes or whatever from the shows if they really want to get educated.
It's easy to become
more into the energy field stuff. The nuclear receptor is another area that I want to start hammering into pretty soon, too, which I talked about a little bit last week. I don't know, were you listening to the show last week?
Oh, every week. I find this to be the best show I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I've been taping and sharing with all the people.
Yeah. And have you gotten yourself a nuclear receptor yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you should call up the office there.
I did. I called up 2 weeks ago. I still haven't received my package of information.
Oh, okay, because we've been running a little bit behind on that. And by the way, those of you that call on that 800 number is busy, then you can call on our 714 number, which is 714-499-2603. A lot of times that 800 number gets a little busy. We don't have it set up where we can take too many calls at once.
It's tough to get open-minded and psychically in tune when there's so much subliminal and outright stealing of the consciousness through the media and the doctors.
By the way, the area code is not 714, it's 949 now. That has changed. 949-499-2603.
And our vitamins, the ones I'm talking about now, are still sold by prescription only in Germany. They're so strong. But, you know, it's too bad that, and they're trying to take away our vitamin freedoms here. Because we've got all this ELF stuff going on and all this, the whole purpose of the Greys right now is to attack the food chain and the water chain, which they're doing. And also, we're having a big problem with people understanding how this attack works. You know, like what we were talking about last week, the synthesis of AIDS at Langley, you know, Virginia there when they came up with the AIDS virus, and now we're getting into the Ebola, E. coli stuff which is another form of very powerful bacterial infections that they're starting to spread out on this world. We had a case of it last fall here in Long Beach when they released them onto a ship, and all 400 people came down with the disease within about 8 hours. I mean, there wasn't one person on that ship that didn't get it. And that wasn't something that just came through the food. It was something that was introduced down here in Long Beach.
Dr. Bell, in all the books I've read, there's only one UFO book that I would feel capable of recommending to you, mm-hmm. and it's called UFOs and the Nature of Reality. It's a $10 book, soft cover.
Yeah, it sounds like a good title.
And it's by Judy Pope Coteen, K-O-T-E-E-N.
Right.
And I'm reading it for the third time.
Oh, yeah, I relate to it pretty well.
It is so profound that I'm looking forward to when you discuss the phenomena, because I'm sure I'll have a lot to share with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Well, anyway, I'll get back to the nutritional side here. When we get into the B-complex and we start getting into this synergistic formulation, we also get into the thing called PC lecithin, which we use. Now, in your brain, you have these synapses, and these synapses fire off electrical signals. The intelligence of the electricity comes from the trace minerals primarily, and these signals are sent down through 72,000 wires in your spinal cord. And when these electrical impulses go down through your spinal cord, you have several different choices. One, you can make this electrical phenomenon flow through your body quite effortlessly and have tremendous amounts of energy, or you can do everything you can to stop this flow, which most people do through poor diet, exercise, and health habits, and be a person that's barely brain conscious, poor memory, no energy at all. And these are areas that are very important to address. First of all, the wiring in the body is made up of sodium, potassium, and phosphorus. So you need large amounts of sodium, potassium, and phosphorus. In the PC lecithin that we use, which is extracted from a coconut, the phosphorus, the P stands for phosphorylated choline. So in other words, we're adding phosphorus in a lecithin form, which then ensures that there's plenty of electrical potential in the nerve. Now, when you have a wire or electrical wire in the body, you don't want one wire to short circuit into another one. In other words, if you have two wires in a plug and you're plugging in an alarm clock or a radio into the wall, and the wiring is frayed, the insulation is frayed on that wiring, on that plug cord, when you plug it into the wall, you're going to get a bunch of sparks and blow a fuse. The same thing happens in your body. When you start start using your body to some kind of potential, and the myelin sheath is weak, or the insulation between the nerve junctions is weak, you start getting crosstalk, or it sounds like tinnitus, or ringing of the ears. Ringing of the ears is one of the symptoms of low lecithin content in the body, and also a low amount of B12. Second thing that most people are not aware of is that the nerves, unlike wiring in the wall, the nerves have little amplifiers going down their perimeters, and these are called nodes of Vernier. And in most humans, in most of humanity, these nodes of Vernier are kind of like subconsciously being operated. They're not being operated properly. And the way I would describe the node of Vernier is if you had a power generator, like you say Hoover Dam, and you had a city 1,000 miles away, and you had one set of wires going all the way to the city from the dam, you'd have a lot of losses through the line. But if you had a series of amplifying stations along these different lines, 1,000 miles of lines, a good amount of the current electricity that originated at the dam would arrive at the city. Same thing goes true with the body. If you have large amounts of electricity potential in your brain, you have to be able to distribute it through your body. One of the big things that I learned from the Pleiadians was how to tune up these nodes of Vernier. In other words, bring them into phase. And when you start phasing your body through different techniques that they teach us, which is why we talk about the electrical precursing science, which precedes electricity and nutrition, when we start talking about that,
what happens is we begin to understand that there are some electrical phenomenon in the body that has to be mated to the nutritional phenomenon. And we'll talk about that right after the break.
Pleiadian technology has now been brought to Earth. Introducing the Super Receptor from Pyridon. This truly impressive space technology is a modern anti-stress medallion that transforms disharmonious energies into a positive frequency. Available in 11 gemstone colors, each corresponding to a specific body function, the super receptors can protect the body from pollution, toxins, and stress, and has a balancing and invigorating effect on the wearer. For more information, call 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. Do you ever get up in the morning feeling great, only to be angry a half hour later? Whether it's your spouse, your children, or your boss, you can stop the stress before it starts. Tune in on Mondays from 7 until 8 a.m. for Being Your Personal Best. Listen as experts help you use a brand new technology. It feels as refreshing as a cool drink on a hot day. Don't miss Being Your Personal Best with Dr. Tom and Linda Blue Carlson every Monday morning at 7 on WALE Renegade Radio.
Hi, I'm Tony Freitas of JKL Engineering. Join me 6 to 7 p.m. Thursdays on WALE for the JKL Engineering Show. We'll talk about carrier high-efficiency gas heating and air conditioning systems. We'll also discuss local issues. And you can even win a gift certificate to a new Chalo's restaurant. So join me 6 to 7 p.m. every Thursday, you know, the day after Wednesday, for the JKL Engineering Show, right here on 990 AM WALE, all talk, all the time.
We're talking to you, Central Falls. Give us a call at 990 WALE.
Well, that was the end of that part of it. Now we are going to go ahead and bring up the next sequence. I love the WALE stuff. That's from rerun. So now what we're going to do is we're going to get Dr. Fred Bell out lecturing here. And he's going to be talking to you as, from a lecturing standpoint. We're going to start with the seven levels of consciousness. I think you're going to like this little ditty from the past. So with that, we'll start
with a little bit of metaphysics now,
a little bit of metaphysics.
What that represents. Okay, now.
We do jump around.
Seven levels of consciousness. Remember that? We discussed that. Okay, seven levels of consciousness. Physical plane, astral plane, mental plane, Buddhic plane, ethnic, medianic, and divine plane. Each one has a sub-level. And there's 49 sub-levels, and that's called by the Egyptians the ladder of the soul. Okay? Now, the strange thing about the pyramid and relating to all this in health, one point I want to cover is this. In the Great Pyramid, the King's Chamber, is two-thirds the distance from the ground. It's up about 200 feet high in a 500-foot high structure. Okay, and the perfect temperature for the human body, where you require less sleep, less food, and less air, is 68 degrees. And just so happens that the Great Pyramid in Egypt, in the King's Chamber, even though the outside of that pyramid is changing from zero temperatures to 150 degrees, is always 68 degrees. That's a very interesting thing to know. Now, the physical plane, this plane right here projected up like that, consists of solid, liquid, gas, ionic, third etheric, second etheric, and first etheric. Well, man, the science, you know, supposedly society listens to science and that tells us where we are, right? That's not really what's happening. The science, until recently, was looking at cells, could only perceive a cell to the ionic level. But when the invention of the electron microscope, we were able to probe down in areas and we became aware of these etheric portions of the physical plane. And this, of course, brought man a series of possibilities. This could, in fact, exist. So you only became recently aware of these things. Okay? Now, the ionic is the area of Kirlian photography. So when we take a picture of a Kirlian photograph, we're dealing on the ionic plane. We're looking at the human body discharging water and gas into an electrical medium, which is a camera, and giving us an indication of what's going on the ionic plane. These higher planes are, their spiritual worlds do exist on these planes. And these are the particles that the scientists have correlated. In the first etheric, they call that the realm of the electron. The second etheric, the realm of the neutrino. And the third etheric, the realm of the proton. In science, when a person looks at a particle, we have a linear accelerator or an atom smasher, and we'll have a thing called a Wilson cloud chamber. And a scientist will say, this particle, a mu meson or pi meson, only existed for a millionth of a second. That's not true. The particle is existing all the time. Man created an environment in which, through the action of his five senses, he was able to observe it. But through his ignorance, he says it only existed for such a length of time. But what he's really saying is that it's existing all the time, but I'm not smart enough to know that. Okay? This is one of the complexities or the, I don't know which would be a good word for it, but the predicaments of society and science. Okay? Now, there are particles existing up on these higher planes. For example, the astral plane, the mental plane, Buddhic plane, ethnic, and so on, have particles, just like we have particles down here. On this plane up in here, the particles down in here are all the units of electrons and so on that we talk about. But now if we have another microscope and we look inside, we're going to look inside the actual atom itself, inside of the electron. Now, scientists will say the smallest particle is the electron and the proton. But inside the electron and the proton is another particle, which we call the ANU, A-N-U. And the energy comes down from the astral plane through the medium of the first etheric through this particle. And then the energy is so dense that it starts reflecting light, and through its reflection of light, it appears to be an electron or proton. And then it appears to combine and do these different things, and so on and so forth, till we have a cell, and down and down and down. That's the way the energy falls down. And the ANU is a high energy source, and it's a doorway. There's positive ANU and there's negative ANU. Now, when you meditate, let's say you meditate, and what you're doing is you're astral travel, or you're up here having some divine experience with the angels or whatever on one of these higher planes. What is happening is this, is that your brain is opening up, and these particles are filling up your brain inside, and your consciousness is becoming tuned into them. And energy follows thought, because consciousness is not limited by size. Man, in his expression to his fellow man, is limited by size, but consciousness is not limited by size. As a matter of fact, if you were to know the size of heaven, it's smaller in its physical location than any atom in your body. So when you, but if you were there, you'd swear it's as big as this, because everything is relative to everything else. The speed of light through the physical plane was observed and measured by man to be 186,000 miles per second, or 186,273 miles per second, if you wanted to be precise. And what man was doing was not measuring the speed of light through a medium. Man was measuring his ability to perceive light that was instantaneous through a medium. And NASA proved that to be true with the experiments on the moon with the astronauts. That was called the the theory of relativity that was brought forth in the science by Albert Einstein a long time ago. But Albert Einstein realized a few years later, when he expanded himself in consciousness, that the theory of relativity was an incorrect hypothesis. And he proceeded into what is called the unified field theory, meaning that everything is constant and instantaneous and expanding all in synchronization with itself. This violated his theory of relativity, but orthodox science couldn't follow the unified field theory. They could barely understand the theory of relativity. They're just now today becoming aware of what the unified field theory was all about. The pyramid works on the unified field theory. It does not work on the theory of relativity, and its results are always instantaneous. Now, size. When you go into metaphysics, you're going into a world beyond physics. And you don't want to get lost in it. You want to learn to put one foot solidly on the ground and the other foot solidly in the heavens. And you want to center yourself on the ground and bring your head to the heavens. That's what you need to learn to do. And this takes some orientation. First of all, you have to perceive what time is, and you have to perceive what size are. And I'll give you two mental disciplines for that. Size is first. How many of you know about, remember the Alice in Wonderland story? you know, where she jumps into the hole and the whole world changes, right? Alice in Wonderland. That's a psychedelic trip described by a human being on a mushroom trip, because psychedelic trips on mushrooms are a journey into time and space. And what we do is I will teach people how to understand size first. Let's look at an atom of an orange, one little orange. Okay, an orange is made up of many atoms, but we want to look at one atom. So we immediately reduce it to the two smallest particles, the electron and the proton. Then we want to relate that electron and proton in size to this room, so that we can relate to where we are. If we can't, in a correlated way, relate it to where we are now, it serves no purpose. So we take an orange, and we make it as big as the Earth, okay? And just so happens that this carpet we're standing on is now the orange. That's how big it is. It goes all around the Earth. That's how big we expanded it. So that you could probably comprehend in your minds. And notice it's got a yellow skin. There's the particles of the skin, the pits. Okay, now, so I reach down, and one of these little squares is the atom, the electron, the proton, the size. I bring it up. Now I have a size comparison between the electron and the proton. So here I am. I'm holding this atom of the orange, because the orange is as big as the Earth, and I'm standing on it. Now, how big are the particles? Well, it appears to me that the particles, the two particles, are the size of this, about a large cherry, but really they're not. As I get my magnifying glass out, I suddenly realize that the proton, which is the nucleus, is the size of a grain of salt, and the electron is invisible, but it's whirling around in this pattern so fast that light is reflecting off of it. But it's very, very, very dense. But it's really not. It's very, very thin. I put my finger in there and not touch anything, but it appears to be solid. This is the trap of Maya. This is the deceptive way of Mother Time deceiving the pilgrim on his way back into the center of that atom, and that size. Inside that proton are these anew. In a hydrogen atom, for example, which is the proton and the electron and nothing else, there's 18 of these different anews inside there. Nine of them reflecting nine other ones. Actually, they're divided in series of three, and there's six different series. Okay, so this gives you an idea about size. Now let's talk about time. A person on a psychedelic experience appears to be in another time space. A lot seems to be happening, yet the relative observer thinks that person is moving very slow. A person experiencing a serious accident suddenly is able to see minute by minute their entire life revealed before them, yet it's all happening relative to the observer in a microsecond. You see what I mean? Because human consciousness is very fast. Now, going back into size again, imagine that the universe is built just like we are, and that we are inside of a greater being that we could call a god or a deity, and that we are cells inside of his body. And when we're not behaving properly, we're a cancerous cell. And when we are behaving, we're a good cell growing. When we produce, have kids, we're making more cells. Just imagine that for a minute. And imagine that the solar system and the sun are part of his chakras. And then imagine, as we look across space, we see these other nebulas, and these are other chakras in other galaxies that are all part of this great being. As we look, we see it takes an awful long time for our sun to go around what's called the central sun, which is Alcyone in the constellation Pleiades. The Tibetans know about this, and they assign these periods as kulpas as this rotation takes place. But in fact, our sun does rotate around that, and it talks about in the book of Job as the secrets of the sweet sisters of the Pleiades. But modern science now recognizes that our sun rotates around a central spiritual sun. Well, if we realize that, then our relative frame of time appears to be very slow to what's going on here, because we're looking at the insides of a great being. But his time is much, much longer than ours. His day is long. Many, many thousands of days go by for a minute of his time. And that's why it's so hard to understand the universe. But it comes into perspective, and we come into what is called the teachings of the Brahmins. And one day of Brahma, one day of the energy God patterns that Brahma are represented by, which is the secret teachings that the Rishis left in Tibet, is 1 million Earth years. So you begin to see that as greater heights in consciousness are received, we elevate ourselves into these lofty levels. So now you begin to see how time goes. The smarter you get, the more time you have. The person, that's why a person is uptight, is running around, jamming into things all the time. You can't learn anything. You begin to see the correlation because you're learning everything in relative to that person. And that gives you time respects. As you watch life, you suddenly begin to realize, as you reach the head chakras and the head centers, that it's all a divine play. Each person is playing a game. The only thing that changes is the pattern, the people filling the spots. Right now, we're probably somewhere we're playing King Arthur in relationships. Somebody's playing the king, somebody else is playing the knights. And you begin to see all these divine plays coming down. And you suddenly realize this is universal pattern. And you can become a better and better actor. As you become more and more spiritual, you become a better and better actor. And so, therefore, you evolve. In consciousness, for a while, there are some people that use the tarot deck and the Ouija boards. They're playing the part of the magician and the seer. There's other people that do palm readings and things like that. They're all playing cosmic parts. And usually one palm reader will have 50 people coming, and she'll have a sign. She'll say, you're Jesse James in a previous life, and you're so-and-so in a previous life, and you're so-and-so in a previous life. And these people are believing that. And then over here, you got a palm reader with, you're Jesse James and you're King Arthur. So you get 15 palm readers or tarot readers or whatever, and there's 15 different hierarchies. Well, none of them are telling a lie. All of these people are in the vibrations, but some of them are more evolved as Jesse James, and some of them are more evolved as different parts. And so you begin to see this as a divine archetype pattern. Because if God gives you one wish, you become what you want to be in the end. And He grants you that. By serving the race, you get it. If you want to be a King Arthur, then you can bet one day you're going to be a King Arthur. You're going to have your own kingdom, your own castle, and your own knights. And that's going to be your ultimate reality. Maybe when you realize that, you realize something beyond that. But that's the way the universe works. That's the secret of the tarot deck. A tarot reader will have these cards. Each card represents a key archetype or hierophantic type. And when a person spontaneously opens the deck of tarot up and pulls out the card, that's the vibration pattern that they're always falling in. You also could call it divining. When you reach a certain level of consciousness, what you can do is you can walk up to a book. You can take this book right down here, which is called Discipleship. Any book, it doesn't matter. And I can take this book, and I can divine it right now, and I will open this book spontaneously, and I'll read something out that relates to today's experience. I don't even know where it is. It doesn't matter. I just reach in, open it up to a page, and I come to something. Okay? Page is 215. Well, 215 is an 8. My number is an 8. I was born on August 10th, 1943. I'm a 888. So automatically, I spontaneously open it up to my number, so I know what's right on. I look at what the contents. It says right here, a life which ignores opportunities for expression and learning, the control of personality situation, is a life squandered. That's one of the things we were talking about today. It comes right in. A cultural heritage that is ignored through sheer inertia, the dharma that is retreated from, the failure to intervene on the side of good and merit, the wasted hours before the television, the overoccupation with self-interest, the attachment to material security, all these collectively or individuality borrow the neophyte from personality integration. It's the topic of today. That's the way it works. It always works. Okay? When you're doing the right thing, it always works. So that begins to teach you that the way to the true life is being spontaneous. And I run Paradigm totally spontaneously. And it totally freaks out anybody that could be an investor in this company because they can't relate to that. But it also freaks them out because this company is one of the most successful companies in the world right now. And it's getting more powerful every day because it's divine. The God force runs through me and through you. That's the way you live. Okay? So this gives you an idea of how energy flows. Energy always follows thought. Thought realizes an idea. Idea expresses itself and experience is realized. Wisdom is achieved from the experience. And you're continually evolving forward, always. Now I'll show you a little bit more about the Anu here. But here's the Anu. The Anu adopts patterns which reflect their vibration and movement. is they're held in dynamic equilibrium. That means that they're held moving actively by forces emerging from higher dimensions, astral plane, which pass to the Anu and elements through a vortex in the north pole of each Anu. Well, look at that. Another comparison. I have a north and a south pole, third ventricle, and the coccyx. The earth has a north and south pole, and each one of these things is polarized. So that begins to teach us about direction. In space, when you fly through space in a space capsule, there's only one direction. There's out. There's no north or south. But in the universe, everything is polarized or magnetized along similar lines. When you do astral travel, like I learned how to do astral travel to go to the Great Pyramid, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is realize a magnetic path. And when you realize the Great Pyramid is from where we're standing now, straight in that direction, 16,000 miles, and that there's a corkscrew effect going through the magnetism, all you have to do is put yourself in that corkscrew and it'll carry you right straight across. And you actually materialize inside the pyramid. These are the ways that the astral travelers learn to travel, by the magnetic currents. That's why when flying saucers are seen coming down, they always flow along the magnetic meridians of the planet, because magnetism and electricity are related. And I'm a body of magnetism, because I'm in a physical form. Now, if I leave this body and go off on an astral plane, take an astral body, I'm still going to be affected by magnetism, but not to the degree that I am now. So I go with the effect that I'm presenting to myself at this given time. So it's different forms of travel. Okay? Next. Now, here's the astral plane. Astral plane, here's the Anu coming down. And what does it form? It forms millions of molecular structures, and it forms a curtain. And this curtain is the illusion that we're in right now. There's the moon and there's the earth. It's all an illusion. Because inside that are other things. It goes on and on and on and on. The universe is infinite. And it's infinite in every aspect. And it's really neat when you start really understanding that, you realize how unimportant that we really are, and yet at the same time we're masters of the area that we're unimportant in. We started going a step further with occult observation. Here is the Anu pattern coming down. This is one Anu. It groups up with three more, it groups up with three more until you get an actual solid particle. I know it's a little blurry. In science, hydrogen has an atomic number of one, okay? And that atomic number can be divided into the atomic number of any other element, and it always comes up with the atomic weight. Well, we found that if hydrogen had 18 different anus in it, and let's say carbon had 216 anus in it, then why couldn't we use the same formula for orthodox science for this metaphysical science and come up with the same results? So we divide 18, which was our cosmic one, into what carbon is, 216, you come out 11.91, atomic weight. So we were able to take this and verify orthodox science. There was no conflict between the Anu and orthodox science. The numbers blended perfectly, giving us confirmation. This work on these atomic Anu numbers was done by Alan Annie Besant and Charles Ledbetter at the turn of the century.
Focus that a little bit better. There we go. You can see it. Now the Anu, backing up for a second. The Anu is right here. Has a field around it just like that. So the atom has a field around it. The human being has a field around it. The earth has a field around it. So you begin to see the microcosmic, macrocosmic aspect of the entire universe as being one and the same. Everything is the same. It's just the same thing, larger or smaller, going down to an infinite size beyond which you could conceive in consciousness, or going to a large size, size of many universes which you couldn't see. And man is just nothing more than energy moving back and forth through the small and the large. All of the heaven worlds that you perceive are smaller than the smallest atom existing well inside the heart chakra. And that's what holds the soul to the personality, the physical vehicle. When the soul gives up, one atom changes in the heart and you come out of your body. Now, consciousness is evolving. Now, how many of you, I'll give you some examples here. How many of you are familiar with a little bit about reincarnation in here? Study that at all. Okay? So you're a little bit into it. Okay? If you study reincarnation, it explains genius. Because if you look at the ego, the human ego, as a formation of limitation, built upon many lifetimes of experience contained within one energy body, the causal body, you begin to see what the ego represents. This is why some people have a stronger confidence in going into an unknown experience than others. Two people are faced with the same experience, one with a heavy ego just goes right on into it, where the other one might be hesitant. A person with a high ego obviously has some past experience. This explains genius. This explains why one child at 6 years old is able to do many things, play music, do science, where another child 6 years old can't do as much. Because if you were to say that, you know, one can do more than the other without understanding that one has experienced more than the other, hence an older or younger soul, then you have to say you have an unfair God that creates people better than others. But if you understand that reincarnation is a way of explaining experience, then you begin to see how genius, in fact, does come to be with nothing more than a more experienced person. An example of feelings, when Christ talked about life more abundant. Let me tell you a little story. Now let me give you three universal incidents to back it up. Number one, in Europe, when we study culture, we begin to study our past. In Europe, one family would live in a castle from 500 to 1,000 years. Okay? And during that time, many governments, many monarchies, many hierarchies would change. Yet one family, continually, one family name, stayed and built a huge castle. There had to be something that pulled energy back, and that father's spirit had to keep coming to that family, back into that castle, to maintain that feeling over the passage of tremendous years. Today, in Tibet, which has been accustomed in Tibet as a nation, and I know you've all studied probably Hunza land, how they live so long, in Peru, how they live so long. In Tibet, they have a very simple custom in almost all the monasteries, or the upper monasteries. And that custom is when the abbot, or the head lama, gets old, the Dalai Lama gets 80, 90 years old, he says to his monks, I'm going to leave my body now. And he says, look for me in that village, or that village, in 4 or 5 years. So what they do over there, and this is just as common in Tibet as the Catholic and the Jewish religions and the Mormons are here, you know, considered Orthodox, which is the Tibetan Orthodox. The monk or the abbot leaves his body, and then the monks have a procession. They go out of the monastery in 4 to 5 years down to the village where they were, you know, their master told them they'd be, and they start asking the villagers, you have a crazy kid around here. We're looking for some high-energy child. And the people in the village say, yes, this fitless dwelling has this child in it. So then the monks go to the child, that's 4 or 5 years old now, you know, because genius and energy starts to show, at least by that time. And out comes the basket of the, you know, some of the possessions or belongings of the previous lama. The child says, oh, that was my teacup. This would start to describe the saucer that isn't presented. It's in that cabinet. This is the color of the wall behind it. It had a big ceremony. And then back goes the child to the lamasery, and the Americans go over and visit, and they see a 7 or 8, 9 year old kid bossing the 60, 70 year old men around. And that's the way it works in Tibet. So that gives you an idea of one nation that they don't know any better, so they live the doctrine of reincarnation, the whole nation. And that's Tibet.
Well, that's the Health, Science, and Energy show today. And I hope you enjoyed it. And I think I hear the waves calling again. Yep, there they are. I love the sound of those waves. Hope you enjoyed tonight's little show. I apologize for some of the distortion, but these are some old tapes, but I think they're worth hearing. I listen to them because I forgot, you know, I'm getting old and senile now. Don't think as clearly as I used to, I guess. But anyway, it's interesting to note that. A lot of the things that I was doing in those days are now coming to pass. So once again, I thank Tampa Bay for tuning in tonight. Hope you weren't confused on the call letters of WALE. That's just a recording from an old time. We have some live and some recorded stuff on Tuesday nights. And listen to the BBS radio website. Check that out. We're posting a lot of things in the news before it actually happens, because we have some very informative news sources. And if you want any more information, call 1-800-729-2603 or go to www.fredbell.com. drfredbell.com or Pyridyne, P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.com. And, oh, there goes a fish. I'm going to grab that fish. Here, fish. Here, fish. Oh, nice fish. Nice fish.